From the Farm Progress Show, I am talking to a couple of representatives from Syngenta, and I have with me Chuck Forsman and Sherry Duval. And this, I understand, is a 50-year anniversary or celebration of having atrazine as a product that's an arsenal and in a grower's toolbox, so to speak. Tell me, whoever would like to start, we'll just do this together. What is it that you'd like people to know about this product at this point?
Well, thank you very much. Atrazine has been around for 50 years. In fact, its birthday is this year. It's one of the early herbicides that farmers were able to use back in the late 50s, early 60s. And what's great about it, it sustains its usefulness today. It's used on many, many of these corn acres here in this state, and in particular on some of those acres that are devoted to conservation tillage, which is a good thing because conservation tillage helps reduce soil runoff, sediment runoff from our corn fields here. And over the years, farmers have really learned quite a lot about how to use that system. And so it's got a great fit, and people are, they continue to use it and see great value in it.
Well, and I was going to ask you, I mean, after all these years, you probably continue to do research and things, like I know, on all your products. How well would you describe it is continuing to work for growers?
That's an interesting question, because Syngenta came to the market with a new class of herbicide known as Callisto. And you know, it's interesting. What we found is that when you mix Callisto and atrazine together, they work better together than they do separately. So you see this synergy. And it's quite an interesting finding. But that really helped promote the performance of the compound, helped sustain the great residual characteristics of the compound. And, you know, this is what we expect from atrazine, though. Atrazine, we have found, is in 45 different mixes that's offered to the grower today to control weeds and corn. So it broadens the spectrum. It helps control broadleaves and grasses, and it lengthens that residual. And just to give you some flavor as to why that's important, if you don't have good residual herbicides out there, after every rainfall, essentially, you'd have to go out there with a cultivation or another herbicide treatment. So this really frees up time for the growers to be able to farm the way they want to farm, and it helps them be much more efficient.
Well, I know that there has been concerns some people have had about the product, and from an environmental standpoint, all kinds of things. I know, because here with this 50-year anniversary, I've gotten a few emails from some groups who seem to want to continue to spread that concern. How do you answer people who do have concerns in terms of its safety and especially from an environmental standpoint?
Well, few herbicides have been through as much study as atrazine in the 50 years that it's been on the market. In fact, it just went through re-registration in 2006, and it's probably one of the most studied products on the market today in agriculture. And you're probably referring to the publicity that we've seen recently about its presence in drinking water. And the main thing that we want people to understand is that U.S. drinking water is absolutely safe where atrazine is concerned. We have been monitoring drinking water at EPA's request for many years now, and what we know is that none of the community water systems in the U.S. have exceeded the federal safety standards that are set for atrazine.
Well, like you said, there are some groups out there that want to, like we see in a lot of things, promote an agenda, and maybe with some not the most recent information available too. But yeah, like you said, the EPA wouldn't re-register this without significant exhibit of its safety, especially. What else, when it comes to using this product, would you like to growers to know about in terms of how it's going to help them with not just managing a pest in their field, but in terms of the other options they've got, for example?
Well, we have a looming threat out there in our cornfields, our soybean fields. And it has to do with glyphosate weed resistance. Now, for your listeners, glyphosate is also known as Touchdown, which Syngenta sells, or Roundup, which is a product from Monsanto. And, you know, these products and the Roundup Ready system have just been tremendously popular with growers. Over 95% of the soybeans in the U.S. are Roundup Ready, and corn is over 80%. So it's very popular technology. But what's happened is people have used glyphosate exclusively in many situations year on year to control weeds. And when you do that, you exert heavy, heavy selection pressure on the weed population out there. And this is causing certain of these weeds to become tolerant to the herbicide. Basically, you've selected out individuals who can tolerate the herbicide. And so that's essentially the evolution of resistance. Where atrazine plays a role is atrazine will control many of those weeds. So it helps take that pressure off of glyphosate, and it will help sustain the glyphosate technology longer, and vice versa. Glyphosate will help sustain atrazine longer. In fact, that's one of the great things that this science-based company did back in the late 60s, and that is that they came to market with mixtures of atrazine plus other products like Bicep, for example. And in today's modern herbicides, we have Lexar, Lumax, and you know, atrazine seems to make herbicides that it's mixed with or used with better. And that just seems to be a theme over the 50 years of use of this product that we find with it. It's just really an outstanding product and a real contributor.
Well, when you mention that resistance issue, certainly it's a big one. We've seen a lot of attention to that lately. And yeah, you need some sort of option or alternative, and you'd like to know that growers are willing to try those things to help overcome this becoming a bigger issue, right? Any other things about, because we're just talking about atrazine here, really, but anything else from Syngenta that we haven't touched on that you might want to add to the conversation here?
Well, I think it's important to remember, too, that not only has EPA weighed in on the safety issue, but there are regulatory agencies across the world that have done the same thing and echoed EPA's conclusion. The World Health Organization, the regulatory agencies in Canada and Australia, and even the UK have all weighed in and said that atrazine is safe when used as labeled. Over 60 countries now use atrazine. In the U.S., it's used on over half of the corn acres, 90% of sugar cane, and 2/3 of grain sorghum. And so after 50 years, it's still one of the most trusted, effective, and affordable herbicides on the market.
Well, I think that says a lot right there. I mean, that pretty much lays it out, that especially like you said, with the continued study and re-registration from EPA, it's just going to continue, I guess, to be one of those standby products that a grower can depend on. Anything else we want to touch on before we go, or do we think we've covered that?
I just want to comment that EPA published that in their findings that atrazine can actually save the grower $28 per acre, and that's in terms of yield benefits as well as reduced herbicide cost. So you wonder why growers use this. It's because they're businessmen. They live in their environment. They're wanting to use something that is cost effective, and will help them stay in business and protect the environment. And that's why they use atrazine.
Great. Well, I want to thank both of you, Sherry Ford and Chuck Forsman from Syngenta, for taking a few minutes to talk to me about this anniversary celebration of a great product that I hate to say it, but we're pretty close to the same age, me personally, but that's okay. So from the Farm Progress Show, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.